How time flies. It was just earlier this month when Mary and I returned on Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, from visiting our daughter's family in France. Immediately getting back into the swing of things, I assisted at both masses on Ash Wednesday when I noticed something out of the ordinary. The size of the congregation at both masses on Ash Wednesday was much greater than what has been the norm for this cathedral over the last year. In fact, the number of people attending Mass on Ash Wednesday rivaled the attendance at Christmas and Easter. I wondered why. In reading an article from The Columbian, the monthly Knights of Columbus magazine, I recently came across an intriguing theory. I'm sure you've heard of the term C&E Catholics, those who attend Mass, not weekly, but only on Christmas and Easter. Well, this article introduced me to the term A&P Catholics, those who attend Mass on Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday. Christmas and Easter, I somewhat understand, but why the 2 days, Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday? The answer proffered by this theory is that people love to receive free stuff. In this case, ashes and palms. While clearly intended to be taken tongue-in-cheek, there may be a kernel of truth to that theory. But a deeper analysis of human behavior suggests that most people, religious or not, recognize that a certain degree of discipline and self-denial is necessary to live a healthy, happy, and meaningful life. A behavioral economics study at a prestigious university suggests that days carrying special meaning, such as New Year's Day, provide us with the motivation needed to overcome inertia and make resolutions which lead to a better life. This phenomenon, called the fresh start effect, may provide insight into the appeal of Ash Wednesday and Lent. Beginning with Ash Wednesday, when upon the reception of ashes we were reminded that we are dust and to dust we shall return, Lent reminds us of our mortality, our sinfulness, and our need for repentance. Lent gives us a fresh start to turn toward God, thereby allowing us to enter into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, the fourth Sunday of Lent, commonly known as Laetare Sunday, is the traditional midpoint of Lent. It's also the middle of the three scrutiny rites in which we publicly celebrate the catechumens, Lauren, Johanna, Joseph, and Alden. The elect who will join the church through baptism and confirmation at the Easter Vigil. We celebrate that they're coming to know the same Jesus around whom our faith community here at the cathedral is formed. The scrutinies focus on the symbols of water, light, and life. Last week, we heard Jesus providing living water to the Samaritan woman. Next week, we'll hear of Jesus, the resurrection and the life, who raises Lazarus from the dead. While this week, we heard the story of Jesus, the light of the world, who gives sight to the man born blind. In today's first reading from the first book of Samuel, we heard of the process through which God chose David, the shepherd, to become the king of Israel. Samuel, the prophet, didn't see the light. He was blind to God's plan. If not for God's guidance, Samuel would not have chosen David. He would have chosen one of the other seven sons of Jesse. For not as man sees does God see. Man sees the appearance, but God looks into the heart. In this case, even a great prophet like Samuel was spiritually blind. To be spiritually blind means to hear the truth, but not see what it means. The spiritually blind cannot see God's big picture of salvation and know how it applies in their own lives. They have difficulty believing what they cannot see. They are simply unable to understand God's word, just like the Pharisees in today's gospel. After being healed by Jesus, the physically blind man sees the light, both literally and figuratively, and recognizes Jesus as the Son of Man with his response, "I do believe, Lord." On the other hand, the spiritually blind Jews, Pharisees, and neighbors alike refuse to see God's wonderful work in Jesus. They fail to recognize that Jesus came from God. Therefore, they remain in the dark. Such spiritual blindness afflicts people, all of us, in many ways. When we're blind to God's goodness in our own lives, we fail to count our blessings, but only count our woes. We see the glass half empty rather than half full. When we're blind to God's gifts in others, all we recognize is the wrong done by others and continually criticize. When we're blind to those in need and fail to help when our help is sorely needed, just like in the parable of the Good Samaritan, when the priest and the Levite passed by the man who was left near death by robbers. When we're blind to our own faults, we don't accept responsibility for our actions, and with a holier-than-thou attitude, insist fault lies with others. And finally, when we're blinded by vices such as pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth, otherwise known as the seven deadly sins. In all of these situations, we're blinded by the darkness and fail to see the light of God's will. To overcome spiritual blindness in whatever form which afflicts us all to one degree or another, we need to heed the words of St. Paul in today's letter to the Ephesians. "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Then we'll live as children of light, producing every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth." Through our baptism and being continually refreshed by the sacraments, we will see the light, just like the man born blind. Let us all accept the invitation this Lent to follow Christ on the road to Calvary and receive the free stuff, not only ashes and palms, but the free gift of God's grace.